Part 25, Chapter 2. Johnny awoke with a start of alarm. The ground had shaken. A woman nurse, who must have been at his bedside, left the room. He stared around him, for a moment unable to place the unfamiliar surroundings. Then he recognized them. It was the bunker room at Kariba that the Chinese had fixed up especially for him, at the inner edge of the hollow of the firing platform. They had ringed the inside hill with deep bunkers, and even tiled some of them. They were lit with mine lights. This one was tiled in yellow. It was furnished with a bed, chairs, and a wardrobe. They had even done a portrait of Chrissy in the tiles, taking it from a picto-recorder shot. It looked quite like her, except that they had slightly slanted her eyes. The ground jolted again. Bombs? He was just about to swing out of bed when Dr. Allen came in and soothingly pushed him back.
It's all right. They have things under control out there.
He was taking Johnny's pulse. Sir Robert showed up in the doorway. He had a bandage across his nose, which Dr. Allen had set. He was obviously waiting for Dr. Allen to finish.
You had a nasty one, but your pulse is normal now. That prevention shot of serum you had handled some of the venom reaction. But to really owe it all to Sir Robert, he got the poison out, and even gave you a few drops of serum.
Johnny's huge Cyclo wristwatch was lying on the side table. He stared at it. He had been asleep for 18 hours. Lord knows what had happened in that time. Dr. Allen anticipated him.
I know, but it was necessary to put you on an opiate to slow your heart down.
He had a stethoscope on Johnny's chest. He listened. Then he folded it up.
I can't detect any heart damage. Hold out your hand.
Johnny did.
Ah, no tremble. I think you're fine. A few days in bed.
At that moment, the ground jolted again. Johnny tried to get up, and Dr. Allen pushed him back again.
Sir Robert!
Called Johnny.
What's happening?
Dr. Allen nodded to Sir Robert that it was all right, and then left. Sir Robert came over to stand beside the bed. He was not answering Johnny's question. He just stood there, beaming down at Johnny, glad to see him alive. The lad even had color in his cheeks.
What is happening?
Said Johnny, spacing each word.
Oh,
said Sir Robert.
That's a Tulnep ship up there. It's at about 200 miles, but it keeps sending down planes to bomb this place. We have air cover. Stormalong is here and directing air defenses. So far, the enemy's giving Singapore its main attention.
Angus was at the door. Johnny called to him.
Have you set up the console?
Oh, aye,
said Angus. He came in.
That's why they didn't disturb you.
He pointed a finger up.
With all that firing, our anti-aircraft outside the screen, and the motors of our own planes, we wouldn't dare use the firing rig. It's all connected. The Chinese set that place up very nice.
The next firing position of the switch is down.
Yes, Sir Robert told us that. It's all ready to go if this firing ever stops. Get a rest.
Angus left and passed Thor. Thor said,
How do you feel?
Johnny waved his hand negatively.
Unimportant. The last I remember was being in the dome. You better bring me up to date.
They told him what had happened and what they had done.
A recoil that bad?
Worse,
said Thor.
How many men did we lose?
Andrew and MacDougall. But we have 15 of them here in this little hospital they have. A couple of concussions, broken arms or legs. Mostly bruised, very badly bruised. The lead of the coffins protected them. No radiation burns. Andrew was badly bayoneted by the Brigantes and couldn't fasten his coffin lid from inside, and it blew open.
And MacDougall?
Well, that one is sort of bad. He had the station over by the old cage, and the coffin was jolted out of the ground. We couldn't find his body for a while, and that's what got us looking.
Johnny noticed Thor was holding a heavy package. He had steadied it against the table.
We had to start looking for corpses. They had been blown all around. Most of the flesh burned off. We followed the blast line, thinking his body had been blown directly away from the platform, and we got into what was left of Turl's office. The whole top of it had been blown off. 4 or 5 bodies from the platform edge had been blown into that area. We didn't want to leave anyone listed simply as missing, so we were trying to identify bodies. We found MacDougall's body, and we found this.
He was unwrapping the heavy package.
I know you will be relieved to have it. One of the corpses had all the flesh burned off, and the vertebrae were exposed, and this was sticking in them.
It was the pea-sized pellet of the unknown core material of the bomb.
Brown limper. Turl threw it at him, like a bullet. Yes, I am very, very glad you found it.
We got the other package Turl handed to him. We gave it to Angus, and he disarmed it. What does it do?
We don't really know. But knowing Turl...
We got his whole recycling basket. We figured he'd try to use it, and we cut the power off. It's really full. It's out here on a dolly if you want it. We had it in a radiation-proof mine sack, fortunately.
He beckoned toward the door.
We grabbed it right after he left his office.
A ghillie wheeled the dolly in. They had stacked the material neatly on it.
Don't try to fire those assassin pistols. Kerr put a plug in them so they'd shoot out of the back at the user. Kerr said to tell you and that he'd fix them back.
They handed Johnny some of the booklets and papers that had been in the false backs and bottoms of the cabinets. Johnny had a lot of it already. His eye was caught by a pamphlet, Known Defenses of Hostile Races and Surveys of Their Homelands. He thumbed through it. A lot of planets here. He looked under Tolnep. This planet is a planet of a double star system. See coordinate chart for location. The system itself has only 3 inhabited planets, the 7th, 8th, and 9th. The Tolnep homeland is the 9th planet. It has 5 moons. Of these, only Asart is important. It is used as the launch of major war vessels. No Tolnep vessel can operate in atmosphere due to the great inefficiency of its star energy drives, which, being essentially reaction engines, use up too much of their power in atmospheres. After construction, such vessels are based on the moon Asart, and their crews and material are ferried to them from planet surface. Since plans have been proposed from time to time to occupy and mine the Tolnep planet, and since usual offensive tactics are thought to be adequate in the event of such a war, the moon Asart has not been assaulted up to the time of this writing. Johnny looked at the cyclo date. It was only a couple of years old. The catalog went on. Johnny laid it down. Another thud and ground shake. Suddenly, Johnny was aware of the underlying tension in all those who had come in. They were just trying to make him feel easy. Thor had received an urgent summons while he had been reading. And now, a communicator rushed in with a sheaf of dispatches for Sir Robert and rushed out. Johnny saw the frown flicker across Sir Robert's face as he read them.
The situation is worse than you're letting on, isn't it?
No.
Said Sir Robert.
Dinna fret yourself, laddie.
What is the situation?
Demanded Johnny. Sir Robert never dropped into dialect unless agitated. The grizzled old Scot sighed and recovered his university accent.
Well, if you must have it, we have lost the initiative. For whatever reason, the enemy has decided to attack in force.
He tapped the reports.
Singapore is holding so far, and right now has tied down about 3/4 of their forces. But they won't be tied down there forever. The Russian base is getting the attention of planes from a large war vessel. Edinburgh is getting hit. Neither of the last two places have any armor cable coverage. And up there,
he pointed,
is a huge monster of a battleship that has been sending planes and bombs down for several hours. It could also launch up to 1,000 Tolnep Marines, and we aren't that well equipped to handle an assault force by land. So there you have it. It can only get worse, not better.
Call Dr. Allen. I'm getting up.
Sir Robert tried to protest, but he finally called the doctor in. Dr. Allen did not like it.
You're full of a drug we found called sulfa that will prevent infection and blood poisoning. You'll feel dizzy if you get up suddenly. I don't advise it.
Nevertheless, Johnny insisted. He knew they were doing all they could, but he wanted to look over the situation. He just couldn't sit still and be pounded to bits. Johnny couldn't see any clothes. A coordinator showed up with an elderly, gray-headed Chinese man.
This is Mr. Sung,
said the coordinator.
He's been in charge of fixing up your room. He has been learning a little English so he can help you.
Mr. Sung bowed. He was obviously pleased to see Johnny, but the thudding bombs also held some of his attention. He had a bowl of soup for Johnny to drink, and his hands shook a bit as he held it out. Johnny would have laid it down, but Mr. Sung shook his head.
Drink! Drink! Maybe so no chance eat later.
Another communicator beckoned to Sir Robert from the door, and the old Scot rushed out. Mr. Sung was getting his nervousness under control. The novelty of meeting Johnny was wearing off, and now that he was doing something, the sporadic thuds of bombs seemed less. And then a conviction came to him that if anybody could do anything about this, it would be Lord Johnny. As he laid out weapons, he began to smile with more confidence. It was true what Dr. Allen said about being dizzy if he moved too suddenly, Johnny discovered as he dressed. His arm was very sore and stiff. It was a bit hard to dress. Mr. Sung got him into the plain green uniform they all wore. He buckled the Smith & Wesson with the left-hand holster and a blast pistol with a right-hand holster around Johnny's waist. He rigged a black silk sling for his arm and then adjusted it so that Johnny could get the arm out of it fast and draw the Smith & Wesson if he had to. He made Johnny check it to make sure he could do that. Then he gave Johnny the plain green helmet.
Now you shoot them,
said Mr. Sung. He made his hand into a pistol and fired it twice.
Bang! Bang!
He was very confident now, smiling. He tucked his hands in his sleeves and bowed. If it were only that simple, Johnny thought. But he bowed and thanked the little man.
Oh,
good Lord, he was dizzy. Made the room spin to lower his head. An unusually large explosion shook the ground. They were catching it.